And as we come together this morning, know that the love of Christ is in this space to equip us. And if you look around, there's the love of all these amazing women here to help us be strengthened and encouraged as we face those crises. So this morning, I want to talk about seasons of the soul. What does that look like for us personally? And how do we speak from whatever season we are in to the culture we find ourselves? On the screen, there is a picture of a church window in York. It's a rural church, so the window is a stained glass that has the four seasons. I was at a meeting yesterday with Ellie, and the speaker came from outside London, and he asked, "Who's been watching Jeremy Clarkson's farm show?" And nobody put up their hand. So he was a little bit like, "Oh, right, I'm in Southwark. Nobody watches farming shows in Southwark." It made me very encouraged because I picked this particular image of the seasons from a church, a rural church in Yorkshire. So there are four pieces of stained glass, each depicting a different season. And those images, I think, are a really helpful picture to go through. So we're going to dive into them. But Ellie had asked me, what's my connection to All Saints? And so I thought I would share some of my connection by talking through some of those seasons. So the first... Can we go back to the images? Thank you so much. It's great to be working intergenerationally and to be working as part of a team. So we're just doing some IT bits. So the seasons are up there. And the first season is spring. And about 20 years ago, I got a phone call from the then leadership of this church who said, "We know about your skills and we are thinking about an idea. We're thinking about this idea of drawing together a group of graduates, putting them in a house together and equipping them to be missioners in this local area. And we've heard that you've got a skill set that might help with that. What do you think?" And I was like, this is a wonderful opportunity. So the leadership invited me to go house hunting with them. What a privilege was that, to go and look at South London real estate. Isn't that every girl's dream? So off I did. And after we'd found a house and after we'd prayed into it, the pump scheme emerged. Spring is a season of new beginnings. It's a season of vision. It's a season of dreams emerging. The second image up there is a picture of summer. And it is a stained glass with somebody wearing a flower garland round their neck. I'm very involved with the 24/7 prayer ministry. And last year they reached out to me and they said, "We do this festival and we'd love you to come along and be part of the prayer team. Would you like to do that?" Now, I live in South London. I love pavements. I love streetlights. I love when you go to a public toilet that is ceramic. I love that. So I was like, okay, I'll come to this festival. The clue's in the word. No ceramic toilets, no pavements, no streetlights. So off I went. Summer is a time of growth. It's a time of abundance. So off I went to the festival and the rain came down. There were no pavements. I tripped on a tent wire the first night I was there, headlong into a big puddle. Our friends from All Saints Peckham were there, and they kindly invited me into their tents for cups of tea and jolly fellowship. Summer is a time of growth, but it's also a time of pressure, and that's certainly what I experienced at Wildfires. But don't let me put you off. You guys are going to Wildfires this summer, a group of you. And I'm sure if you want to know more, ask Vicky or Olivia because they're both going and they're excited and it's going to be a great time. Autumn is the next season. And we have an image up there that just shows an abundant harvest. Several years ago, the leadership here asked me if I would take a week off work and come and help with a mission that All Saints Peckham were involved in. We hosted a group of people to come and sleep in the church hall, and these people were then invited to people's houses so they could have a shower in the morning, and that was a lovely thing to do. There had been a word given from the congregation that there would be 139 people saved that week. You remember the scripture that talks about put down your net, and the net came up and there were 139 fish. That was the word that was given. And indeed, 139 people came to the Lord that week through the mission that had been organised with All Saints Peckham. A really fantastic harvest. And there are times in our lives when there is a real harvest and a real gathering in. But harvest leads to transition, and it leads to the call to be a good steward. So it leads us into a place of winter. And I'm sure most recently you remember when we were so excited about Ellie and Greg coming to join us here. We knew God had appointed them. We were really excited about what they were going to bring. And do you remember? The house wasn't ready. It was a bit of a winter season. We were so excited. We were so ready. We were so waiting. And I'm part of a wider church network. We were so excited about these guys coming, and the house wasn't ready. And winter can feel like a slow and steady season. So whatever season you are in today, I want to just encourage us to remember that God meets us where we are at. Natalie, you've done a fantastic job of speeding us ahead. Please move on to the next slide. So as we think about the seasons, I want to make it clear that the seasons of the soul don't always follow the natural seasons of the year. I said earlier on, I got some news this week that has meant my season has changed really quickly, and it's not followed the pattern. So I'm in a new season, and who knows how long it will last, because that's what it's like with seasons of the soul. We don't know how long these things last. Spring is the awakening season. And I wonder if you're sitting there with mostly D's on your piece of paper, and if you're sitting there with mostly D's on your piece of paper, that's because you've identified that you are in a spring season. So the big idea that happens around spring is it's an awakening season. Spring is when new things start to grow, dreams, ideas, healing, hope. But it's also a tender season. I was talking about my gardening earlier on. In those tender seasons, we need to look after what we've been given. We need to steward it gently. Fresh vision and renewed hope. I wonder how many of us are sitting here thinking, I can feel there's something bubbling within me. What does that look like? An openness to God's direction. Something new. I'm hearing that whisper. I'm feeling that stirring. And also a place of being strengthened. That new season brings us and heals us. So we might have been carrying a bit of a bruise. We might have been carrying a bit of a resentment. And all of a sudden, we begin to become aware that that's less of the reality as we step into this new awakening. We feel stronger in ourselves to press in to what is new. What does spring look like in a polycrisis world? Well, I think a really great example is during COVID, we all had to stay at home. But one of the things that's happened is we're now all allowed to work from home. Before, that used to often be a bit of a fight, didn't it? And you used to think, gosh, I could get so much more done if I didn't have a 2-hour commute. In a polycrisis world, let's look for those green shoots. Opportunities blossom in unexpected places. And a polycrisis gives us an opportunity to find where are those little gaps And it only takes a tiny little gap for something to grow. Natalie, could you change the slide? So I want us to think about, how do we partner with God in a spring season? What could that look like? And I've come up with the idea of, spring is when we put the seeds in the ground. We surrender to the process of growth, trusting that God has got that. We expect God to move in new ways, that we come out of the familiar and into the new spaces. We engage with what God is planting. Because God can be stirring dreams in our hearts, but how many of us have stopped listening to those dreams, have stopped listening, and thought, well, no, it's not going to happen to me. I've been waiting for a while. No, it hasn't happened. So really, as part of the spring and the seed process, what is God planting and expecting God to move? And the D is to discern the direction of this new season. So I hope that's a helpful thing. And I just want to encourage us to just sit in our chairs and to breathe for a little moment. You might want to shut your eyes. Breathe slowly, deeply through your nose. Gently open your lips and exhale. Just allow that gentle, refreshing breath. And as you do, ask God, what are you awakening in me at this time? Hold on to the stirrings of what God is saying in this moment. Natalie, thank you. If we could have our next slide. So this slide talks about summer, a fruitful and a fierce season. So summer is when things grow. We've just enjoyed delicious, perfect strawberries, but they're only grown in this fierce heat, aren't they? Spiritual maturity through testing. And I think the heat of today is a really nice reminder of what summer in the soul can look like. That if we are going to mature and grow, there is an edge to it as well. So spiritual maturity through testing. Visible fruit in our lives and ministry. So coming out of our comfort zone. This is summer. This is fruitful and fierce we're talking about. Oh, sorry. That is a very good question. That is if you are a bee. Thank you so much for asking me. Thank you. So visible fruit in your life and ministry. And one of the things I love about ladies' breakfasts is the opportunity to give feedback. Because often when we come together on a Sunday morning and maybe we don't go to church, there isn't really time for you to turn around to your pal and say, you know, I'm really seeing you grow in this area at this time. And you know, these breakfast gatherings are an opportunity for us to remind one another about what we see in each other. Wasn't it fantastic to be led so beautifully and so strongly in worship this morning? Thank you to Vicky and Amy. That united partnership, bringing heaven to earth. Thank you. An opportunity to speak out what we see, to speak out the fruit that we are seeing. In a polycrisis world, what does that look like? Well, summer mirrors aspects of this present moment, overstretched, under pressure. That's what our world feels like at this moment. Politically, economically, climate, the whole caboodle. And God is faithful, whatever season we find ourselves in. Natalie, thank you. So for me, as I think about summer, and what does summer look like partnering with God? How do we flourish for fruitfulness and when it feels fiercely hot around us? Well, I think the acronym GROW for me can be quite helpful. Gratitude. Now, I don't know about you girls, but I think gratitude is an absolute superpower. It is so easy in a polycrisis world to feel grumbly about everything rather than to press into gratitude. And I really want to encourage you to press into gratitude, because I know for me that when I press into gratitude, my goodness me, not only am I thankful for what I'm talking about and saying, but actually my attitude and my beliefs change. So I really want to encourage you to guard your heart. The prayer Ellie opened this morning with was about, let's not compare. Let's not compare. Let's be grateful. R, remain faithful. Don't quit. Keep going. And I wonder how many of us this morning got up and thought, gosh, I'm hot and sticky and I've got to leave the house for a breakfast. I don't think so. Let me just hang out in the shower and not go anywhere. So can I just celebrate each and every one of you for getting here? It's fantastic to have you with us. So don't quit. Keep running the race God has set before you. O, overcome distractions. Steward time and rest. When it is hot and bothering like this, we need to make sure we are prioritizing our well-being. If we are going to run the long race set before us, because faith is a marathon, it's not a sprint, we need to prioritize that rest. And rest is warfare. And for us as women folk, we can get so busy and so caught up in the doing of everything that I really want to encourage you to overcome the distractions. Rest is not the same as scrolling. Yeah? Rest is not the same as scrolling. And finally, how do we partner with God in this season? For me, a key element of that is worship. I love that we have been led so beautifully this morning. And I'm also very grateful for the scripture that says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Because if you were standing next to me, you will notice that the music that was coming out my mouth bore no resemblance to what was being led up the front. We don't have to be perfect singers. We don't have to be eloquent speakers. But we are called to worship. And worshiping in the season when it is fruitful and fierce will allow us to maximize and go further and go deeper and go higher. And I bless you in that. So there's some paper on the table, or you might just want to talk to your neighbor next to you. And I want you to think for a wee minute about a summer survival kit. And I want you to think about, what is one spiritual rhythm that you could prioritize in this season? Or what is one distraction to drop? So my questions to you this morning, as you think about your summer survival kit, what is one spiritual rhythm to prioritize that's going to help you remain faithful, that is going to help you press into gratitude, that is going to help you deepen your worship? And what is one distraction to drop that is going to help you overcome distractions? Well, it sounds like there's lots of buzz in the room and lots of good ideas. So I bless you as you press onto those. Natalie, thank you so much. Autumn, a time that reveals the harvest. Autumn is an opportunity for us to celebrate God's faithfulness as we bring the harvest in. It's where a testimony and an opportunity to invest in others. I think for me, one of the really strong points about harvest, and I'm just coming to that, is to remember that it's not just about a time that we gather and give, but it's also a time that we need to store. And if you got mostly A's on your sheet, then you are in a time of autumn, a time of gathering in the rich harvest, a time of gathering in the rich harvest that you have been partnering with God to see established, and an opportunity to share that abundance. It's also an opportunity to think about preparing for a future season. So often in autumn, it can feel like there's little elements of spring, but you'll know that from the seasons. In the midst of winter, we can have a bright sunny day. So there are elements of each of these seasons that appear in other seasons. And this isn't an exact science, but it's an opportunity to reflect and think, what could this picture image be for me at this time? So it's often in an autumn season, we have run the race on that particular element of work that God has called us to. And that spring awakening can feel like there's a dream that maybe was on the back burner that's maybe coming alive a little bit more. We in autumn have gathered in, we've finished that bit of the race and are beginning to think, I wonder what's next. In a polycrisis world, autumn can be an opportunity to check out. So we see around the world many of our world leaders lording it over another. Oh, I'm fine. We're sorted. We've got enough problems in our own nation. We don't need to be involved in another place. Oh, climate crisis. Oh, no. Sorry. We're involved in other crises in our country. We don't have to worry about that. When the reality is that all of these things are interconnected, we are all interconnected. So my question for you, as we think about partnering, if we could have the next slide, Natalie, thank you, is to think about autumn as a season of reaping. The fruit of one season becomes the seed of the next. And I think the challenge for us in the world that we live in is to forget that the seed is really important, that we reap the abundant harvest, but we forget that part of that harvest is needed for the next season. Or worse still, we hoard what we have and we don't share it and it goes off. We only need a wee bit of the seed. We need to give the rest away. So I wonder if any of you would like to shout out what are some of the things that we are seeing in our world at the moment that we'd like to see more of. So as I ask you that question, you can think about the answer while I talk about how we help partner with God. And I think REAP is a really helpful acronym at this time. Reflect and celebrate. Harvest is a time when you've done the work and it's coming to an end. Celebrate God's goodness. How many of us are like, oh yeah, I've done that, moving on. And we don't really take that moment to say, actually, I partnered with that vision that God gave me. I worked blooming hard to make this beautiful place happen this morning. Huge celebration to the folks who put all this together. Wasn't it glorious to walk into beautiful tablecloths and lovely flowers and incredible fresh fruit? What a blessing. Thank you to all of you who made that happen. Let's celebrate that. Let's not gloss over it. This is stuff to celebrate. Thank you. Expressing our gratitude. We as women are very good at affirming one another, but sometimes we can forget. And I just want to encourage us all to express our gratitude to God and to one another. Accept transition. So I got some news this week and some stuff in my life is going to change. It's possibly going to change for the better. It's possibly going to change for the worst. But I know God's in it. And the job for me today is to accept that there's transition coming. Would I have liked that not to happen? I jolly well would have liked that not to happen. It's a very hot, bothering day. Accepting transition was not on my calendar for today. But it is the reality of my life as I stand before you. So I can testify it's blooming challenging, but I know that it's the right thing to do. So in this autumn season, accepting transition as a reality will help me get through it. And that P, preparing for what's next. Well, as I stand before you, I don't know what the next bit is, but I know I serve a God who goes before me. I asked you a question and I gave you a couple of minutes to think about your answer. Have any of you seen something that you think is great in our culture right now that we need to see more of? Let's call it out. And even if it's not great, what's good enough that we're seeing that we want to see a bit more of?
Revival amongst the young.
Amen. Revival amongst the young and amongst the not so young, I would say.
Discovering that they want something spiritual. According to the Premier website, and there's a superficial attraction to Catholicism, but it's more to do with the ritual than any people like Madonna, you know, rather than the actual guts of what's going on. But I know Martin Clunas, I think it was him, he showed how he was an atheist, and somebody at work was a Catholic, and he'd had no contact. No, his mother was an atheist. He'd had no contact with the church and he loved it. So it's interesting that a lot of people who've had no contact with the church to somebody at work start to go to church and they think, wow, there's something here that I could do with.
Amen, Julia.
So
amen.
Let's pray that there are lots of decent men because there's a shortage, severe shortage of decent, reliable Christians.
Well, I'm sure you're not alone in saying amen. We'd love to see a lot more reliable, godly men in our world, me being one of them. Anybody else?
I think that what's being shown, I've seen on television, is highlighting kindness, especially between men, where they've been, I think women are kind anyway, but where, and actually I've noticed it in drivers, they've been actually nicer. As I've been driving around, as I'm older, I take a little more time. But they've been kinder about letting people through and saying thank you and things like that.
That is fantastic. Let's pray these things in, ladies. Heavenly Father, we thank you that there is great stuff happening and we want to partner with that and we want to say more, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this quiet revival. And we pray for this new generation who are coming to faith. And we pray for all our generations. Lord God, come and revive our nation, we pray. Lord, we thank you for the men that are coming to faith. God, may they find good people to disciple them. And may they run the race with faithfulness. And we thank you that there is an outpouring of kindness. We say, Lord God, more in Jesus' merciful name. Amen. Thank you so much. Natalie, if we could have the next slide, that would be fantastic. Winter, the hidden work of a wilderness season. Well, if you've been doing your answers, you'll see that number C is the last letter. And I think the key verse for me as I think about winter is, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 46, verse 10. Winter is the time of hidden work. And it doesn't mean that God isn't on the move. It doesn't mean that things aren't happening. But it can look very dead, can't it? And it can feel very cold. And it can feel quite brutal. So for those of you who are in a winter season at this time, I bless you that you would know the warmth and the comfort and the encouragement of God. And I just want to encourage you that no season lasts forever. And if you are in a winter season at this moment in time, God sees you. Elroy, the God who sees your position and is with you. It's the hidden work. Winter is the time when our roots go deep. It's a refining of our faith. It's where character formation beneath the surface happens. When it hits the fan, what does it look like in your life? That's where our discipleship shows up. And these breakfasts are wonderful opportunities to come together and really challenge one another about our discipleship and think, what does that look like up close and personal? The winter whisper. Natalie, if we could have the next slide. Thank you. So winter really is a time about roots going down deep. And if we want to see an abundant, fruitful harvest, we need good, strong roots. And I think for me that acronym is quite helpful. In a winter season, our energy will feel depleted. That is very natural. God has made us physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual beings. And these spiritual seasons have a physiological impact on us. If you're in a winter season, your energy will feel depleted, and that's okay. There's no condemnation. Rest in God's presence. If you're in a winter season, it might feel like your prayers are going unanswered. It might feel like you've been praying the same prayer for a jolly long time, and you're yet to see an answer. In a winter season, I think it's really important that we keep our heart open to God. Even in the silence, keep our hearts open. For me, a really important bit about the seasons, and particularly winter, is to own it. We as evangelicals can sometimes be our own worst enemy. My mate, Goddy, will make it all right. And a sense of feeling like we have to be chipper and jolly. And I just want to brush that off you. Because the reality is, Elroy, the God who sees us in every season. And the gift of it coming together for these kind of breakfasts is the gift of being able to come and be ourselves. We don't have to dress it up and we don't have to pretend. We can be honest about where we are. And trust that new life is coming. Trust that new life is coming. So one of the things I want us to think about as we close today is that winter can be a time of feeling like everything is stripped away and we're laid bare. Know God's love and know that God's covering is always around us. And as I close, I want to encourage us to think about knowing that God is with us in every season of the soul. So it's been a bit of a whistle-stop tour this morning, and I hope it's given you a bit of a flavour of the different seasons of the soul. Any of these kind of events are really just to kind of tickle our discipleship so that we go away and dig deeper into our personal walk with the Lord.